Welcome into another edition of 2-for-1 Hoops Podcast. My name is Tristan Wentworth, and I'm joined by my co-host Parker Lovett. This week we have Troy Reich and Anthony Billis, two members of the Wake Forest basketball team, joining us. I know you guys are pretty busy wrapping up your schoolwork, but how are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
Pretty good. Glad to be here.
Awesome. Hey, thanks a lot for coming on. You know, I just watched that video that Danny Manning put out about all the contributions that that walk-ons make towards Wake Forest program. But can you guys touch on that a little bit more? Just like, you know, what are you guys doing on a day-to-day basis, helping out at practice? And then, you know, what is it like ultimately being on Wake Forest team?
I mean, really, it's, I think there are some good points in the video that I, you know, encourage everyone to check out. I'm sure it's on YouTube. But really, it's been a great experience for, I think I speak for both of us. We able to be a part of an ACC program, been able to experience some really good things. And just from our own perspective, develop and play against very talented players and being a part of really cool things like the NCAA tournament and the Maui Invitational. And then just, you know, the stuff that comes along with being a part of any basketball team. I've built some good relationships. You get to play the game you love. And just overall, like I said, every day you get to step out there and play basketball. So I personally really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that video is definitely on YouTube. I saw that there. I got to see some Troy Reich, you know, tip-ins and step-back jumpers, so that was nice. But, Anthony, go ahead if you wanted to build on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of fun. I mean, our role a lot is to try and mimic as best we can the team that we're playing or a team that we have to play in the future. So I think it's a lot of fun to try to change up your game every day. Like, this is more for Troy. Troy has to do it a little more often because he's kind of a forward. So, you know, one day he's a stretch four, can shoot threes, handle the ball. And the next day he's, you know, strictly a post guy. So, I mean, I think it's about me.
Anthony, we heard a little bit about that. I heard for a second Manning was running him out as Brandon Ingram, and I thought I was hearing things. I had to ask him.
That's true. Like, he was
Brandon. Make sure I heard that
right.
This
year was Marvin Bagley. Like, he's kind of got to be a Swiss Army knife out there.
That's awesome. That's a great experience, I think, for you guys.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I mean, it definitely goes back to, it's, you know, it's trivial, it's small things, but watching Ben Simmons in the NBA playoffs now, and I was thinking back laughing because I was Ben Simmons when we played LSU, and, you know, he's going here spinning around dunking on people, and I was like, I don't know how good of a job I did simulating what he's
right.
We ended up winning. I couldn't have done that well of a job.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the three-point shot, I'd imagine the simulation, you might have actually had a better three-point shot than he's got now.
Maybe. I think that's the one thing I can say I do better than Ben Simmons, potentially.
Right. That's interesting, right, though, your guys' points about, like, how you get to run the sets for other teams. Can you talk a little bit about who you think runs some of the better sets in the ACC or, like, the teams that you have more fun being the scout team of?
I mean, I think maybe not the most fun, but an interesting one is definitely Virginia. I think they have a very, like, iconic offense with that wheel where it's a pin down and then a fade screen at the top. I think that's always fun because, you know, you see it work very well for them. I think a lot of that offense is predicated on, like, good ball movement and being patient. And for us as walk-ons, I think we may not have the same level of athleticism or talent potentially as the, you know, the guys who are playing more in the games. But an offense like that fits us very well. So that's always fun just because it's an offense you know.
Virginia offense gets tired. You get worn out real quick running that wheel.
Yeah. I feel bad for the guards. I'm just sitting there setting screens, and they're running literally a circle, just tiring themselves out.
it's constant movement, like you guys are saying.
Exactly, and I think that's why it works for them because you have to be in good shape. But if you can run it well and be patient, it works out really well for you.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
So, yeah, that's good stuff. Tristan, do you have stuff or places you want to go?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about, you know, when you guys are playing Duke this year, Troy, I know me and you have talked about it a little bit. You know, you're kind of a big Bagley supporter. I know there's a lot of mock drafts that have him going, you know, top five or whatever, but he's kind of slipped out of the top three. But I know you were speaking highly of him. He put up 30 and 11 earlier against you guys. Do you want to talk a little bit about his performance against Wake Forest and then, you know, what you think about him going forward as a prospect?
Yeah, I mean, there's two things with Bagley, why I'm a big Bagley supporter. Obviously, he played very well against us, did put up amazing numbers. I've seen that before. I've seen really good players put up big numbers against us or maybe around us. But what really impressed me about him was that he worked very hard. And it wasn't, you know, we're a big time program, it's ACC, but this wasn't an NCAA tournament game or maybe his highest, personally, his highest profile game of the year. But he was working his tail off down there and going after every loose ball, working harder than I've ever seen a superstar work before, at least in a game I've been a part of. And so that's really impressed me. And then the second thing, and this is kind of, I'm going to steal kind of a line from Bill Simmons here. When he watches a draft prospect, he says, can I imagine this person being in the NBA finals? Can I imagine him being a factor? And when I see Bagley, I imagine him as a five in the NBA finals, stretching the floor, running, getting easy buckets, blocking shots. And that's why I really think, because I think he would be perfect in that kind of situation. So that's why I think he'll have a long, prosperous NBA career.
Yeah. I mean, motor is one of those things that you can't really teach. And, you know, guys like Draymond Green and that are extremely competitive, obviously they get overlooked in the draft. You know, obviously Bagley's not getting overlooked, but maybe that part of his game that will translate to winning plays in the NBA is, you know, being a little bit under the radar for on these mock draft boards. Parker, what do you think?
Yeah. I think that Bagley, he's interesting, but I have questions about the defense, and I've heard some interesting comps that maybe aren't as favorable towards Bagley, but it's really, you guys have actually seen him play in person. Where would you rank Bagley for both of you as opposed to some of the other prospects that you've seen? You know, you've seen Tatum up close and personal and Brandon Ingram, Ben Simmons you mentioned earlier. Where does he kind of fit as far as these wave of players if you were to compare their overall skill set at the college level?
I think with let's go back 2 years ago with Ingram. I remember watching him, and I was sitting next to another walk-on, Steve Prendergast, during the game, and he had some fadeaway, Ingram did, and he turned to me and said, like, when that kid fills out, he's going to be so good. And I think, you know, you're still kind of waiting on that, but you see the skill. He's more like a shooter, I think, right now. Like, he's not much of a slasher just because he's so frail still. But he could definitely be good. I'd put Bagley ahead of him, no doubt, just because of the freakish athleticism that Bagley has. And I think it's a little easier to say to Bagley, oh, like, you know, work on your jump shot versus to say to Ingram, like, you need to gain weight. You need to put on 20, 30 pounds because that's pretty tough to do. It's easier to work on a jump shot. But yeah. Watching Tatum, I just remember – thinking how skilled he was, and like he was by far like the best ISO player in the conference. Like, he could just square up anybody and get a bucket, and he's doing that in the NBA now. So I think he might be the best pro out of the three just because of how gifted he is offensively. And he was drafted into a really good situation in Boston, but yeah, Bagley, what stands out with him is just the athleticism and the work ethic. I mean, when you combine those two things, it's pretty tough to be a bad basketball player.
Yeah, and I'd echo the same stuff Billis is saying. I mean, Ingram, Tatum, just two very skilled players. Bagley, I was obviously very impressed with. I think, I don't know, maybe lucky is not the right word, but he put up a big game against us, so maybe I might be a little biased against that. Ben Simmons, like, I knew he was going to be good. But I feel like it's what a lot of people have talked about at LSU. I'm not sure what the word is, checked out. Not checked out, but it wasn't the full – we weren't seeing the full capabilities of Ben Simmons there because it wasn't really the right situation, I think, maybe, for what he needed at the time, which kind of gets into another, you know, the longstanding debate, like, should he have had to go to LSU, all that kind of
thing. Yeah, he should have just been allowed to go right to the NBA if it was up to me. But
exactly. And so, like, for some people, like, I think Bagley was in a good situation. I think this year will help him in the long term. But, like, for Ben Simmons, just being there, like, seeing what he's doing now, him at LSU was a completely different player, and that has nothing to do with his skill level or athleticism back then. It was just kind of the situation he was in. So that's kind of almost led me to believe that, like, just because you see a guy go off in college, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be the best NBA player. Sometimes there's guys who may not shock you when you play them personally, but you got to, like, factor in the situation and where they're at mentally as well.
Yeah. I mean, Troy, I remember you were saying you were really impressed with Luke Kennard when you played him. You know, he's a lights out shooter, and he's kind of struggled to get minutes for the Pistons this year, but he's shown flashes. But, you know, he had a great game against you guys. But it's hard to tell with some of these guys if they're really good college players, and it's hard for a lot of them to make the leap. Yeah. But, you know, to your point about Ben Simmons, like he was taking plays off in college. There's a lot of times where he did seem checked out. And if you watch the Sixers now, he's one of their most important defenders. And I think going forward, he's going to be, you know, a guy that's capable of being on like a first team all defense. He could get that recognition. And the Sixers have, you know, one of the better defenses in the league right now.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think he's going to be really good. And like I said, you know, I've mentioned before, Kennard went off. I thought he was going to be really good, and he's still very well, maybe. And then there's another guy, you know, Donovan Mitchell. Look at what he's doing. I think when he played up against us, he might have only had, what, like 6 points maybe?
He scored like the first 7 points of the game and then didn't score
yeah.
after that.
Yeah, so he was in single digits in the game he played against us. And it's weird, you know, seeing him out there leading, winning against a team with Russell Westbrook when, you know, a year ago, this, you know, no slight to them, they had a great season, but he lost to a Wake Forest team that we were on when he's the star player in single digits. So it is, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of stuff you can learn and gain and for the potential pro prospects, but there's such a difference, you know.
And, you know, it kind of goes to system. Sorry, Jared, I didn't mean to cut you off. But it goes to system because he's, you know, playing for Quinn Snyder, and we mentioned Tatum. He's playing for
Brad Stevens.
I mean, these are two of the best. Yeah, these are two of the best young coaches in the league, and it's hard to separate players from, you know, the system that they're in. You know, Josh Jackson, I think, has a lot of upside going forward, but he was playing for, you know, a Phoenix Suns team that fired their head coach within the first month of basketball, or I think within the first 5 games or something crazy. So it is hard. It's kind of a crapshoot, and sometimes it's hard to separate the players from the winning system that they're a part of.
Definitely. Yeah, and it takes time, especially when they're, you know, 19 years old in the NBA. I mean, Donovan Mitchell's, I think, he's my year, I think.
Yeah.
So he's probably a little bit more developed, had a few summers in college, you know, doing college-level workouts, playing against potential NBA players every summer. And, you know, when you're just 19 years old, you only had 1 year of college, it kind of shows sometimes. And I think that's what you're seeing with Josh Jackson. He's not quite physically built, but he'll get there. And, you know, I think he's going to be a really good pro.
Yeah, that's actually a perfect segue into a guy I wanted to ask you about who, you know, you guys know a lot about. John Collins, obviously drafted last year by the Atlanta Hawks. You know, his 2015-16 season, he came off the bench primarily. His numbers were solid, but then just an absolute massive jump in the 2016-17 season. Can you guys speak to, you know, just was it more opportunity? Did he just, like, grow a lot physically? Did he get a lot better? Can you talk about kind of what led to him having kind of a breakout season for you guys last season?
Well, I mean, he had a good freshman year. And, you know, I remember thinking, like, after that season was over, we were losing Devin Thomas, who was our starting big, you know, senior captain, really good player. But I remember just thinking, like, either Darrell Moore or JCS to step up. And I had no idea who it was going to be. It could have been either one. And then probably midway through the summer, it was clear, like, it's going to be John. Not because, you know, Darrell wasn't doing the right things, but just because JC was just separating himself. And you could tell, like, he's going to be a big problem. And then, you know, he started the season off strong, and you're thinking, wow, he's crazy good. And then conference play hit, and you realize how good he actually could be, and, like, he could be a lottery pick. Because, I mean, he had, like, what, 12 straight 20-point games in the ACC?
Yeah.
Which is absurd. And, yeah, once you kind of get to the fifth ACC game, you realize, like, he's going pro. He's for real. But you could see, like, he was going to be a big problem for other teams as early as, you know, June.
Yeah, I think the thing with JC is he's just had such an exponential growth in his game. I remember I had a conversation with him. I forget what it was in regards to, but he mentioned that going into his junior year, like, if you had asked him, he didn't really think he was going to play D1 basketball. Like, he didn't think that was really going to work out for him. Because I think he hit his growth spurt a little late. And coming into Wake, he wasn't that either. He was a 3-star. I think he was like 270 or something like that rated. But in his freshman year, you know, he was good. But I think he struggled just figuring things out, even against the walk-ons in my experience, because I guarded him every day. Just some, you know, simple moves and kind of taking him off the block. He struggled kind of adjusting to that. You could see the talent, the athleticism. And he had good feel for the game, but he just struggled with some of the little things. And he even said that to me. He's like, oh, I hated when you used to do this stuff to me freshman year, and I couldn't guard you, all this kind of stuff. But then after freshman year, in that summer, I think we were playing pickup, and he's just running the floor, dunking, alley-oop, blocking, pinning people, and you could kind of see that he put it all together. So I don't know if I would have predicted he would have been a first-round draft pick, but like Billis kind of said, once he started putting together those 20-point games, you know, it became pretty apparent how good of a player he was really going to be.
He also struggled his freshman year. Just, I think he overthought a lot of things, like especially defensively, where he would kind of get stuck in between a few things and he wouldn't be able to, you know, choose whether it was blocking a shot or boxing out or something, and he just kind of freeze. And I mean, he got yelled at a lot in practice his freshman year. Like he screwed up a lot. And then, I mean, his sophomore year, he just kind of figured it out. And I mean, I know he's still not a great defender, but he's starting to, you know, be a better decision maker when it comes to making difficult decisions. And
I
think that's led a lot to his improvement.
No, and it's good. He's a really good player, and I think both of us would consider a friend, and we're happy to have been a part of the program with him. And it's crazy watching him. I saw a picture of him. The Hawks tweeted out something funny. It was like future MVP and former MVP, and it was JC and Kevin Durant. I was like, literally, you know, months ago, this guy was guarding me, and now he's guarding Kevin Durant, which is just, you know, it gives me a little bit of sympathy for these guys, because like this thing, it ratchets up quick, man. You know, you go from guarding an unathletic guy who can make a three once in a while to guarding one of the best basketball players in the universe, you know, so it happens quick, but he's done a really good job adjusting.
That's such a relevant point. Like for me, being a huge Gonzaga fan, like watching Zach Collins as a freshman there and like seeing him around, and then next thing you know, he's guarding Anthony Davis in the playoffs. Like that just seems so horrifying.
Yeah, that's good. Those Gonzaga guys, big fighters.
Yeah,
they don't take slides.
Yeah, he's about to get, they've got a chip on their shoulder.
was he just throwing down nasty dunks in college too? Like, did he have one that stuck out to you guys that you can remember? Or you're just like, oh my god, he got that guy bad. Like, because he had a couple this season where he just got guys bad.
The one, he didn't really get someone, but BC Bryant Crawford on our team, he threw a lob off the backboard on the fast break from like far out. He was like not close to the rim, sides, a lot of speed on it, and John caught it and just crushed it. He got a couple people. It was just a lot of just hard dunks. I don't know if he has one poster that stands out.
Yeah, I don't think he does. He just dunked so often.
Maybe I might.
Eventually, people just started getting out of his way.
Like, yeah, I think that's what it turned into. People were scared. Like even in practice, where you think he would have had a huge one, I think at least for me, I knew better. I think most people were getting out of his way.
He caught one against Miami. He caught like a lob, and I think it was a guard. It might have been Devon Reed. Mm-hmm. But like Devon Reed maybe jumped and tried to get it, and JC just kind of climbed over his back and finished it.
Yeah.
But I think that was the only like real poster he would have got.
Mm-hmm. But no, his athleticism, I mean, he was obviously very athletic, but I think it's gone to an even greater level. Like I saw that Donovan Mitchell lob in the Rising Stars challenge. Like that was ridiculous. I've never seen anything like that.
He had a couple in summer league too. Like he straight up put the entire Pelicans team in a casket. I mean, it was crazy, and he's had it this year a bunch. I think he's kind of filled out even, you know, since you guys played mm-hmm. with him. But Troy, kind of it's wild to see the growth from your, you know, freshman year on, you know, or your sophomore year on, to see him come in and kind of not put it together, coming off the bench, and now, you know, be mm-hmm. one of the future building blocks of the Hawks. You know, I think that's pretty awesome.
It's cool. I think that, and kind of bringing it back to the earlier point about, you know, the joys of being a walk-on, it all comes full circle. Like he's earned everything he's gotten. He is an amazing player, and this is no way trying to like take credit or anything like that. But I think me and Billis like to think that at least, you know, whatever 0.01, 0.05% of what he is today, we hopefully help contribute to by practicing hard against him, maybe giving him one comment, maybe helping him with something, and having those moments. And then the other things, like just going, remembering going to Chipotle and hanging out, like, Those kind of the stuff you do it for, knowing that you help someone hopefully achieve their dream, and also just the relationship you've kept and the memories you have. It's really cool to see him in the Rising Stars Challenge and like know that you're a part of his life in some way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so what would you guys consider his upside going forward? I mean, Anthony, you mentioned the defense a little bit is not quite there. Where do you guys see him long term? Kind of what do you think he can get to as a player? Like, does what areas of growth that maybe we haven't seen from him that you guys know he has? Or just comment on that maybe.
I mean, I think he could definitely improve his jump shot, no doubt. I mean, he's got good touch in the mid-range, but I think he can extend it out to three. I think he hit like 5 threes this season.
Yeah.
I don't know how many he shot, but he's got good form, and it looks good coming off his hands. I think he could definitely – like coming into the draft, you know, he was kind of a high-floor, low-ceiling prospect. Like people said, he's going to be efficient. He's going to rebound. He's going to dunk. And I think – yeah, I think that kind of hits the nail right on the head. I think he could be a better shooter, but I don't think he's going to be, you know, some sort of, you know, Channing Frye type player. I think he's going to get most of his points in the paint. But, yeah, I think defensively he could just get better. You know, could always be a shot block or something like that. But I think he's just going to be a solid pro for a long time.
Yeah, I think he knows his role well, and he's doing a very good job of that right now. The one thing I think, like, for him to really take the next step potentially, it would be for him to kind of create his own offense. So he's very good at catching lobs and kind of getting into position, playing off his teammates. But I think if he can get to the point where he can go, it's kind of my time to score, and he has a go-to move, or maybe he can knock down the three-point shot, then he's really going to be a good player. I mean, I think he has a very good feel for the low post game. He has very nice post moves, which we saw up close. I think that could be good, but like with how the NBA is going now, you know, how often do they really just feed it into the post unless you're, you know, an all-star MVP type talent? So it'll be interesting, but I think he has a lot of potential to grow, and I think he's going to be a really good player.
Yeah, I agree with you on the jump shot. That seems to be kind of it's so crucial for modern big men to be able to kind of step out and hit the shot. But this season, John Collins was 16 of 47 from three-point land. So a little bit, that's 34%. So it shows a little bit of growth there. Tristan, what are your thoughts on John Collins?
Yeah, not great.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, going to what you guys are just talking about now, you know, in the last six games, he hit 6 threes, you know, and, you know, over the second part of the season, he actually was shooting a lot more out from the outside. And I think that's something he can develop. Like, given his trajectory in college, there's no reason to think he can't make some of the same steps. You know, in the NBA, he's still only 20 years old. And they're, you know, the Hawks are happy with him. You know, he's got a knack for rebounding. He's not just like a solid bruiser that can rebound. He's got like one of the quickest second jumps that I've ever seen. So I think he could be really good going forward. Troy, I think, you know, it'd be interesting to see if he could put the ball on the floor, like you were saying. But, you know, Atlanta's pretty wide open right now in terms of what they're doing with their team. So there's no reason to think he can't, you know, command a bigger role for them going forward.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, from my limited experience, shout out Atlanta Hawks subreddit. They seem to really like him on there. So the Hawks fans are obviously a big, they're big fans of his with all his dunks and everything. So I think they definitely see him as a long-term building.
Yeah, you were telling me about, there was this feed that you were reading, and you're saying, you know, maybe we'd trade him for Giannis, but that's about it. Like, he's a blue chipper for them.
Yeah, they're having a debate. They're like, oh, well, because I think the argument was they think it's like likely because they don't think they're going to get the number one pick. So Doncic is probably going to be gone. So they're thinking maybe Bagley. And they're like, okay, what do we do with Collins if we have Bagley? And just the whole, you know, subreddit was like, oh, we're only taking from Giannis or Kyrie. They were throwing some insane names out there. But, you know, I guess that speaks to his potential and how good of a player he is in Atlanta.
Now, I have another question. It's kind of a little bit off topic, but not entirely. I think you guys both got a chance to play in a pickup game, you know, with some of the all-time great players ever, Chris Paul and Tim Duncan. I think, you know, Harry Giles was there, you know, up-and-comer. Could you guys talk a little bit about that experience and what you took from it, and, you know, how different is it to play actually up close and personal with these guys?
Yeah, I mean, that was – I remember that day. That day was wild.
Yeah.
Like, we just came in, and, you know, they said, like, pick up in the Joel at, you know, whatever time, and just showed up. And I remember Chris Paul was just shooting. And you're like, what? Okay, cool. Like, he comes back a good amount. So it wasn't, like, a huge – it was kind of a pleasant surprise to see him. And then Tim Duncan walked in, and I – like, my jaw dropped. Like, I could not believe that he was actually here. And
wasn't that Mo Bamba?
Yeah, was there Mo Bamba, too? Yeah, Mo Bamba was also on a visit. He was playing with us. Yeah, it was kind of like a
random.
Yeah, it was kind of a random group of yeah. Like, he was just on a visit, and they just asked him if he wanted to play pickup. He said yeah, but yeah, Harry was there too, and it was just kind of crazy. Like, I remember, I never like guarded Chris, but I had to like switch on him one time, and I just I was so excited and scared all at the same time because this was like my freshman year. I was by far the worst player on the court, but it was just, it was so cool. And then, you know, afterwards, like him walking out to me, like knowing my name was like one of the coolest experiences I've had here.
Yeah, I think it was surreal for me just walking in there. You know, you see Chris and Tim and Harry Giles is in there in his like USA basketball jersey. My friends were texting me. They're like, "Hey, we're at the gate. Can you let us in?" I was like, "No, I can't let you in." But just playing with them, the thing that really stood out to me is like how much attention to their craft these guys play. I remember there was one play where I set a screen on CP and he came off and Tim hedged it or something. I forget the exact circumstance. But literally Chris took him aside and discussed how like, "Hey, I need you to hedge this way, blah, blah, blah." And this is me setting a ball screen. Like I think Tim was all right. I don't think we scored on that play. They won the game. They were going to win the game. There was no way they didn't win that pickup game, but he's playing against 18-year-old kids and Chris and Tim are working on their game, discussing pick and roll coverage. Cause that's how much they care. They want to get better. And that just really shocked me. They weren't in there messing around. Obviously they're not playing at like the finals, diving on the floor, but they took it seriously. Every rep they were trying to get better, which was something that really impressed me.
Yeah, well, yeah. Chris Paul wouldn't know much about playing in the finals, but nevertheless.
maybe that's changing this year. We'll see.
That's true.
That's crazy. What other like past alumni from Wake Forest have come by? Like, you know, do you guys see Al Farouk Aminu or like Jeff Teague? Do these guys ever come around? And if they do, what usually is the purpose? Do they speak to the team or just give us an idea on that?
I mean, Al Farouk is never – I've never seen him here.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has come back or not, but he's all the way out in Portland, so it's a long trip. James Johnson came back one game.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Gave his Yeezy
to play. he walked in the locker room. We can probably say this now.
Yeah, no names. No violations. No names.
We can probably say this now, but he walked in the locker room and, like, dapped everybody up. We had just won, so you know, he told us good game, and – one of our teammates, he's wearing Yeezys, and this is 2 years ago, so like you know, they're pretty hard to get. And
$1,500 shoes at this point.
One of our teammates just like, "Yo, let me get those."
I don't think he even said that. He just said, "I like your shoes."
Yeah,
and then he was like, "Yeah, you got them."
He just gave them to him. He walked out in socks.
Yeah,
like it was one of the most bizarre like experiences. I was like, "He just gave you your shoes?"
Yeah,
and he was like, "Yeah, like." He just walked out in socks, like no, didn't think twice about it.
Yeah, so that was who else? Ish Smith has been back. He was at Fratelli's. He was at like a local food place with us. I'm trying to think of everyone else.
Josh Howard. He lives in Winston, doesn't he?
Yeah. We played his team. He's actually a coach in the Winston-Salem, North Carolina area. So we played against him, and he comes down and hangs out.
Yeah, he comes back a lot.
And I remember, you know, he's not in the NBA now, but I remember growing up watching him on the Mavs and he was a great player too. So it's really cool just to have those connections. And even though those guys are busy, the fact that they take time out of their day to come and talk to us really means a lot.
James Johnson, I thought he was going to straight up fight Ben Simmons yesterday. They were not backing away from each other.
Yeah, it was funny. Wake Forest Twitter was kind of going off. Yeah, they're like,
Ben Simmons doesn't want these problems.
Yeah,
like,
you don't want to mess with the Demon Deacon. He'll show you.
Well, isn't James Johnson like a black belt?
Yeah.
Like he's like a professional mixed martial artist.
I think there was probably like 5 million tweets saying that same thing. Like, oh, he's a black belt. Oh, he's a black belt. All this stuff. I was like, oh, did you know he's a black belt?
Yeah.
But no, it seemed Ben Simmons was didn't seem to be that ready to get into that fight right there. He said, you could almost see his mouth. He was saying, we good. Obviously, they were not good.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to fight James Johnson before I found out that he has a mixed martial arts belt.
Yeah.
Can you guys give me I'm dominating the questions here, but can you guys give me the toughest place to play in the ACC in your opinion? Like which of the iconic arenas is the hardest to play?
I mean, Duke is the loudest, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That one, I mean, that's a pretty obvious answer. But I think the three times we played there, I think last year we were in it for most of the game.
And,
but the other two, like the environment, I don't think played a huge factor late in the game because it was, you know, a double-digit score. I'm trying to think of other places where the environment really, like Carolina was really loud this year. Like
we Carolina, Duke, Syracuse are the classics ones. I would say Virginia Tech is underrated.
Yeah.
That's an underrated one people may not think about because their stadium is, if I know this isn't really great for radio here, but if you can imagine a ski slope, like the stands go straight up. So it's even the people, it feels like they're directly on top of you. And it's, you know, fits a lot of people in there. So it gets really loud in that stadium. So that's always tough. But yeah, no, Duke's a classic one, but that one's always fun because they have, what is it, the rap sheet or what's the thing called?
Yeah, the dirt sheet.
The dirt sheet. Like, so they have every player on the team, then they have little bullet points of how to make fun of them, basically. Like they have like some tweets and, you know, people's girlfriends' names and all this stuff. And it's really funny. They're heckling you from the minute you get out there. And it's really funny to hear some of the stuff they come out with because it's actually funny. It's good. ACC basketball, I think, especially with like Louisville and Syracuse and stuff recently coming in, it's really just turned into such a big conference. Then it's tough. Every game, no game is easy. And I think that's one thing, especially playing at Wake Forest, which, you know, we made the tournament our junior year and we were the 10th seed, I want to say, in the ACC. So that really just shows you top to bottom, there's so much talent. There's no games off. There's no days off. So I think that's been really cool. It makes every game interesting, every game fun.
I would agree with that. It just seems like you said, the depth from top to bottom of the conference is pretty absurd. Mm-hmm. You know, you got even the Syracuse, you know, they've been down a little bit, but they're always tough. And, you know, Florida State is good. Miami's good. Like all of these teams. You're just like, how are they so good? There's supposedly these football schools, but
yeah.
Troy, can you hear me?
Yeah, no, definitely not. Yeah, we can hear you.
What'd you guys think of Lonnie Walker?
I mean, his hair is an anomaly.
Yeah,
I remember like
first round hair, top 10.
Yeah,
hair.
I remember stretching and just like thinking, like, how does he stay up like that? Like, how's it not like fall?
It's not Elfrid Payton bad, but it's definitely close. Yeah.
But he's a freak athlete. I don't remember like anything him doing anything against us that was like, whoa. Yeah. But I remember watching him on TV and just thinking like that he's explosive and, you know, has a pretty decent jump shot. He's got good size. Like he could be really good.
He's got some swagger to him. He has a little bit of the, you know, like the swaggy P pull up game, that kind of stuff. So I don't know. It was interesting. That Miami team was good. They had this one guy, Chris Likes, who's 5'7". He looked like he was like 5'5", and he was just explosive and like dribbling underneath people. Like he was someone who stood out to me because I've never seen someone who's that small and that was that good and that explosive. He would like jump for a layup, and it looked like he got into a rocket ship going towards the rim. So that Miami team was interesting to play against. But yeah, no, top 10 hair.
That team was loaded. They had a bunch of talented guards. They'd kind of take turns, you know, having big games, but. You know, Anthony, I agree. I think Lonnie Walker does have good size and explosive athletic ability. You know, he just declared for the draft, I think, early April. So it'll be interesting to see what he does going
forward. Wake Forest has had a guy to go to the draft.
Daryl Moore, the sophomore big man.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked too much into it, but I think he's obviously heard some good stuff if he's decided to go forward draft and hire an agent. But he's good. I mean, really athletic. You know, 7-1, can run, you know, touch super high up on the backboard. He has a ton of potential and he's going to be really good. And I think Coach Manning did a really good job with him, as you know, he's a known big man coach, really good at developing them. So I think he's taken some initial steps after not playing that much, actually, his freshman and sophomore year, into being really productive, you know, close to averaging a double-double, I think, his junior year. So I think a team is going to be really lucky. He might need a little bit of development potentially, but like I said, his potential is huge. It's hard to find 7-1 guys who can jump out of the gym. So he's going to be good, I think.
I didn't know he was 7 feet, but that's, you know, that's definitely has the size.
All right. Well, you guys are probably pretty busy. Got a lot of other stuff to do. Go helping your teammates out as part of the walk-on experience. Tristan, you got any final thoughts for us?
No, I mean, I know they've got some great – I was going to ask them a story about a couple of their assistant coaches. I know they've got some funny guys on that Wake Forest team, but I guess we'll save those questions for a different day.
Yeah, shout out Coach Woodbury, Coach Childress, Coach Jones, and Coach Ballard. We got some funny stories, but we'll leave it off the podcast.
You know, Anthony, I've already got a nice little pull up game. You know, I wish I would have made it out to Wake Forest to run with you guys a little bit.
Yeah, man. If you ever get the time, come on down.
Yeah, I still want to see a Tristan Wentworth, Britton Anderson matchup. That's what we're all waiting for. I think that's what all the listeners are eagerly awaiting, that matchup. So we'll keep the fans posted on that one.
Certainly will. All right. Thanks a lot for joining us, guys. A great conversation as always. And I'll catch up with you guys later.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us on, man.